Yes, have some.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Yes, Have Some podcast. My name is Craig Goldberg. Happy October. Welcome to the show. We are glad to be here. Abigail.
Happy October 11th.
I told you we were going to talk about some spooky stuff tonight, but you went all out.
Yeah, dressed like Joe Bob. Jacob's like, no, I knew that would make you laugh. I got a little
Joe Bob dresses like a redneck.
All right.
You look like Wednesday Addams.
This is like a gothic schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah.
And I thought it was appropriate for YHS for us to talk about, like, you know, spooky stuff.
It would have been better if you went to Spirit Halloween and bought the what is it, the fake Howard Stern costume. It just says New York radio DJ. It's like a big wig.
Come on.
No, you look great. Happy Halloween almost.
Thanks. I was feeling the spirit of Halloween. I finished reading Revival today, and tonight at like, or tomorrow technically at 3 a.m., the new Mike Flanagan, Fall of the House of Usher drops, and I'm really excited about it, and I was feeling the spirit of Halloween. I was kind of down the last couple days, not feeling so well, so that's really why I wanted to dress up.
It's a bounce
back.
Treat
this like church, you know, bouncing back, reviving, if you will.
Revivaling.
Reviving.
Well, welcome back. You look great. Jacob, how are you, man?
I'm good. I just watched episode one of Midnight Mass.
I was planning on doing that if we hadn't lost our cat today and everything went awry. I was going to watch all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you lost the cat.
Temporarily lost her.
Yeah.
She's back.
She's literally showing up right now.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay, it's fine.
That's another spooky story for another day.
Yeah. Well, she's fine. But it was a tough morning. You got a lot going on over there. Your phone.
I'm so important.
Oh, we got a phone ringing. What is happening?
Anyways, Jacob, happy October. We're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk about spooky stuff tonight.
Sure.
How are you? Actually, we're going to talk about Jaws.
I'm good. Yeah. I was like, wait.
Well, we went to Sleepy Hollow.
Talking about.
And it was spooky.
Sleepy Hollow, yeah.
Cool. Well, we thank you guys for tuning in here tonight to the podcast. Whether or not you have been here before or if this is your first time, we appreciate it. And listen, if you're on the podcast feed, if you're on Spotify, if you're watching us on YouTube, wherever you get your YHS, we hope that you enjoy, and we really appreciate the support because we are coming up on our 8th year anniversary. Is it 7?
Wow.
Ooh, time to,
is this the last
time
episode?
Time to end this.
Yeah.
Okay. We just got back from New York City. I was going to say it was our annual trip to New York, but sometimes we go multiple times a year. Abigail, did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time. This was a fun trip. It was like the perfect time of year where it's like, for me, it's like still kind of warm out, which I appreciate. But then like the fall chill kind of comes in the evenings. So it was a nice trip. It was one that I was looking forward to. Toy Fair is something that we hadn't been to in a while. And I was excited to see some friends and feel the, like, you know, the spookiness of New York City in October.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We had a really good time. We talked about Toy Fair a lot on Toy Anxiety. Tonight, we are going to be talking about one of the main reasons we were there, which was to see The Shark Is Broken. We're going to talk all about that. Maybe we should just go ahead and get, I don't think we have any other housekeeping to do. Jake, do you have any other, like, anything else you need to get off your chest before we talk about Jaws? No? Are you excited about this new Ghostbusters movie coming out? And I want to make sure you guys know.
What are you just, yeah, sure. I think it might be okay.
I hear things.
I hear it's going to be good.
My hopes. Okay. Well, here we go. Jacob, for those who don't know, for the listeners who don't know what The Shark Is Broken is all about, let's give some backstory here because I think that's important.
Okay. I think basically, so like something I didn't know about the show is that it was in the book, the playbook, is that Ian Shaw, who is the son of Robert Shaw, who played Quentin Jaws, he found one of the diaries that Robert Shaw was keeping during the making of Jaws, which had stuff in it, you know, about the making of the movie, about his alcoholism, I guess. They talk about that. And, you know, also there are a ton of behind the scenes stories of the making of Jaws and what went on between the actors and the shark not working, and, you know, like stuff everybody's heard. So he wrote it into a play. He wrote it into a play, and a play in which he plays his father, Robert Shaw. And I mean, that's, you know, that's basically it. So the play opened maybe a couple of years ago there, and it was in London for a while. And then it moved to Canada, and it was in Canada for a while. And as soon as it moved to Canada, I was like, oh, this is going to travel. Yeah. This is going to come to the United States. And the day they announced it was coming to the United States,
so
we bought tickets.
Like real fans.
Like the real fans do.
Yeah, we're real fans.
So first of all, the drinking diary is really interesting. So basically, Ian Shaw, he's a writer and an actor in his own right. I think he's written some plays. He finds this journal or this diary of his dad's. He's inspired to write. It's kind of what I found in trying to explain this play is that it's kind of hard to articulate exactly what it is, and because it's really, really well done. It's also very funny. Like, laugh out loud funny.
It is very
funny. But Abby, I was going to ask you this.
Yeah.
When you hear, like, on paper, like, Ian Shaw finds this diary, writes a play, he's going to play his dad. Quint is the most legendary character in, like, cinema history. There's, like, a million ways this could go wrong.
Yeah. And I actually was quoted as telling coworkers that I was going to see Jaws the Musical in New York, which I know everyone shakes their head. For whatever reason, Back to the Future is a musical,
just
right?
The series,
okay,
yeah.
So maybe I had some crossed wires.
Now, Christopher Lloyd's son found his dad's drinking diary.
Shut up. That's amazing. No. Okay, so going into it, I had kind of this is probably a little bit silly and fun. Probably nothing too serious, nothing I'm going to need the tissue for sure, is how I felt going into it. And then when I came out, I was really surprised at how emotional and, like, vulnerable and honest the storytelling was of what that set was like, and what how deep we could go into layers of these, the actors kind of playing their characters, being played by actors that are, it's very, like, layered.
It's a little meta.
Meta,
times.
But also, like, it works.
Because it's, they're...
Yeah.
Jake, this is the thing that interests me the most about it. Like, because I've thought about... I don't know about you guys. I've thought about it a lot since seeing it, and I want to see it again. Like, I feel like I would love to see it again.
Yeah.
This time, though, with the understudy. I don't know if you saw... they've one understudy. He does all the characters. I want to see him do a one-man version of it.
One-man Jaws?
But I thought it was interesting because the actors are playing, they're not playing the characters from the movie, right? They're playing the actors.
They're playing the actors. And occasionally they're playing the actors.
Right. So, but it's like, okay, this guy, I want to make sure I give everybody the right credit. Alex Brightman. Okay. He plays Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Who's playing Hooper. Now, he's playing the actor Richard Dreyfuss as if Richard Dreyfuss's everyday mannerisms are very much the same as a Hooper's, which, by the way, they might be. They kind of are.
Well, they kind of are. Well, he kind of is.
So there's this kind of meta layer, but I mean, just, I think you have to kind of start with Ian Shaw. Like, Jake, as the biggest Jaws fan I know and a diehard, like, what did that mean to you? Because we've talked about it a little bit, but this is kind of the first time we've really broke it down. So I want to get in there.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. It's weird because Robert Shaw seems like, you know, Robert Shaw passed away. I don't know. I don't have the year in front of me. I don't know when
he passed away in 78. So just a couple of years after.
Right. So 78, not that long after Jaws was made, before any of us were born. So you grow up watching Jaws your entire life. And, you know, Robert Shaw almost seems like a mythical beast. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost a little bit of the thing that Bill Murray has, except for Bill Murray's in a ton of movies and he's still out there and he's doing stuff. Robert Shaw was like not in a ton of movies, and a lot of the movies he was in are much older. He's not around anymore. So, and also the character of Quint is this like huge, larger than life. You know, when you watch Jaws, like Quint is he's the best part of the movie. And, so it's weird, you know, you kind of like put that performance and that actor on a completely different level. So then you got Ian Shaw, his son, who looks identical.
He's also tall. He's built like him.
He's identical. And then he writes this play and you're watching him be Robert Shaw, but then also you also see him be Quint, and his Quint and his Robert Shaw are both, it's like, they're, of course they're perfect because it feels like he's the same person almost. I'm not saying that to like disparage that like Ian Shaw doesn't have his own set of, you know, things and all that, but it's like it's his son. So watching him do all that. And then, you know, we got like some pictures with him after the show, and having a picture of me with Ian Shaw in the photo is the weirdest thing ever, because it's like, you know, I'm a huge Jaws fan. I own so much Jaws stuff, been to Martha's Vineyard multiple times, have met anybody I can meet, but meeting Ian Shaw is almost like it's a whole other level to it. 'Cause that's the only connection to Robert Shaw.
I mean,
that
I compared a little bit to like when we got to interview and spend a couple minutes with Violet Ramis Steele, where it's like, whoa, your dad is Harold Ramis. He's my hero. Right. But it's even more than that to certain respects because of what Jake's saying. Like Robert Shaw was gone before we were alive. To me, it's like when you hear about like people who knew Walt Disney or somebody who, you know, knew Tolkien or somebody who's just this, like, it's weird to think like J.R.R. Tolkien was a person that just existed, just like, you know, Stephen King, right? But people will think that of Stephen King. There's certain figures that once they're gone, there will be people who are born now, who years from now are going to look at us and go, I can't believe you were alive at the same time as Bill Murray or, you know, Jason Sudeikis.
Right. There's a handful of them out
there. I don't know why. I almost said Pete Davidson, but I want to keep Jake in a real good mood tonight. I can't believe you're alive at the same time as Pete Davidson.
I mean, bodies, bodies, bodies. What a movie.
So it's really, really well done. All three actors. Let's do a little, not a fuck budget, but a little ranking. Like, who do you think, I mean, it's Ian Shaw. He knocked it out of the park.
It's Ian Shaw, First of all, it's amazing. Unfair because all three dudes are great. But it is like, you know, Ian Shaw wrote the play. He knew what he was doing. Also, not just the fact that you're watching him do Quint like better than anybody else other than one person can. There's also a lot of there's a lot of times in the show where the characters are talking about serious stuff, and Robert Shaw, the character of Robert Shaw in the show, is talking about issues he had like with his father, but it's being said by Ian Shaw, the actor, who's actually the son of Robert Shaw, having to talk about his dad and his grandfather. And it's such a, like, it is, I don't know, it like it becomes emotional on like six different levels at the same time. You know what I mean? Because it's like on a surface level, like a level that doesn't matter. It's like I'm watching the Jaws thing right now. There's a Jaws thing on Broadway, and I'm in the third row watching it. And they're in the Orca. This is cool.
Yeah,
that guy's. You know, it's like these people are. Isn't it playing weird? Like the act. It's like I want to stand up in the middle of the show and be like, guys, this is Jaws. They're doing Jaws stuff right now.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it's like the son of Robert Shaw, and he's like talking about emotional things about him and his father, but through the disguise of his father and his grandfather.
It's it's meta and it's deep, and like it ties to the it ties to the original movie, because you have bloodlines like that, and then to be able to like see something special that was kept in a journal, shared like that on stage, is it, you connect with it. At least I did. I thought that was really cool, the way that the story unfolded. And I thought that it was actually very funny too, like, not to get away from the serious stuff, but there were some really funny moments. I thought Colin O'Donnell, who played Brody, was really like a standout star. I enjoyed everything that
we
did.
We know.
Yeah, he sunned himself for a little bit, stripped down to his Speedo. I thought that was really cool. Then I got to meet him outside after the show, which, you know what? I would have probably just walked on to dinner, but Jacob is like, nope, we are going to meet these people and get their autographs. And I'm glad we did that. It was really special.
Well, and another thing that I found interesting, I get the sense, just kind of in talking to some of the people that were around us and just some of the chatter around the play, like Ian Shaw is obviously Robert Shaw's son, because we know that. You read the playbill and you hear the story, but it's not like they come out. That's not the story here. He embodies his dad, right? But it's not like they come out and they're like, introducing Ian Shaw, star of original Jaws actor, Robert Shaw. Like, if you didn't know, you might just enjoy it for what.
You might go see that play and not even realize. Yeah, they don't make a big deal. Yeah. I mean, it says it in the thing, but if a lot of people don't read, so there's people that I guarantee you there's a lot of people watch the play and be like, wow, that guy really looks like Robert Shaw.
Yeah, they didn't know what the secret ingredient was.
My favorite line in the play that I remember is there's a line where the actor who plays Colin Donald, when he's playing Brody, he makes a joke about it, but he's like, I'm never coming back for a Jaws 2. And the whole crowd laughed, because it's like, no matter what your level of fandom is of Jaws, like, everybody who's had cable for the last 40 years knows that Jaws 2 with Roy Scheider comes on all the time.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah, it looks painful.
Every time Jaws 2 comes on, I'm like, I think it's going to be good this time. I'm like,
it might. Yeah. This time I'll like it.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's got like, you know, it's cool that it has all the stories that you hear about Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw, all the push-up story, you know, the throwing Robert Shaw's alcohol out the window. Like, all of those things are things I've been seeing cast and crew from Jaws say in interviews.
Right.
My entire life. You know what I mean? If you go watch any of the Jaws documentaries, you hear the story of the push-ups.
It would be like seeing a Ghostbusters play and the actress playing Sigourney Weaver like turns into a dog at her audition in front of Ivan Reitman, because every interview ever with Ivan Reitman.
Right.
And it's weird because it kind of talk
about
like,
it every time.
Almost has like a mythic, like, do like a, there's a chance that never happened. There's a chance Sigourney Weaver never got on all fours and started barking in Ivan Reitman's office, but you hear the story so much, it kind of becomes like
legend
or mythology.
I think there's truth to it. I think there's definitely truth to Sigourney Weaver's audition. I think those things are real.
I don't think Sigourney Weaver was on the Orca, but I was just so impressed. Here's another thing I've never seen. I mean, maybe this makes me, I don't know what this makes me. I've never seen like a Broadway show that wasn't a musical, where it's just three guys acting for an hour and a half straight. It's like watching a Highwire act. I was like, how do they do it?
What? Practice?
I know people think that about us.
Oh God.
How do they do it?
They don't.
No practice.
They don't.
Well, it's like,
nobody,
Jake, you're a musician, right? You've played in bands. I'm a musician. Like, there are people when people go see like a band play, if they're not a musician, they might have that feeling of, I can't believe you can do that. And that's how I feel about seeing three really talented actors just on a stage with the spotlight on. And like, also another part of this play is they're all like screaming the whole time. It's like their energy is like turned up. And it's just impressive. So I definitely recommend anybody here who's listening, who's a Jaws fan, to try to see it before it's over in like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I think it ends pretty soon. I think in November it's done. And I keep having a lot of people comment on my posts or whatever. They're like, "Oh, I hope it tours," and I'm like, "I don't think it is. I think the touring it's doing is country to country. I think after here, maybe it might go to another country. But Ian Shaw doesn't live in the United States. He's not gonna, and it doesn't. It's not a play you want to watch with somebody else. Like, I don't think it's not the kind of play like, you know, on Broadway, musicals happen." Plays happen for the first month. You got an original cast, and then people start leaving and other people come in, and that's okay because those shows aren't about the actors. They're about the characters and all that. But the character of Robert Shaw in this, that is specifically played by Ian Shaw, is partly what it's about and brings so much more depth to that role. I don't want to watch this with somebody other than Ian Shaw playing Robert Shaw. And I don't think anybody does. So I think once it's done here, it's done here. I hope, you know, putting Broadway shows on DVD is not something that happens super often, but this feels like a special case. Maybe they should. I would hope mm-hmm. that they do that. I would be bummed out if, that's the only time.
The only change I would make is like if they said, "Hey, we're gonna do one night with actually Richard Dreyfuss doing it for one night."
That I know.
Richard Dreyfuss now.
Yeah. I'd love that, but no, I know what you're
saying. No,
I don't think he can.
I don't know if he can do it.
Commemorate the connective tissue of like the original. Like, yeah, I understand that should be filmed so people can watch it later on.
Here's another thing I don't know if a lot of people realize. You know, when a musical tours and like comes to Atlanta and comes to the Fox Theater. The Fox Theater holds 3,500 people. Like a lot of these Broadway theaters are pretty small.
They're small and they're old. So they're like nice and cozy. Doesn't matter where you sit. You're getting a good, I've seen shows like in the Fox Theater where you're so far back. It's like,
it was the Golden Theater that we went to. We haven't mentioned that.
Right. And I'm going to look up the capacity of the Golden Theater. Cause I bet it's not more than a couple hundred. Because, and we did sit really close, which was amazing.
It's great.
The John Golden Theater. Okay, 800 seats. But it feels very intimate, though. And just to kind of set the stage, I mean, I hadn't seen it. Jake, have you seen like any clips from the play before seeing it?
Just some small, really, there's like a, you know, on the Instagram page, there's like a trailer kind of deal. And it's just like, I mean, it's maybe 15 to 20 seconds of some funny bits from the play, but it's, you know, nothing substantial.
Abby.
Yeah. Like a proof of concept kind of.
So I was this is kind of spoiler territory, but listen, it's fine.
Well, the shark dies.
If it was a musical,
Shark Stays Broken.
I kind of do wish it was Jaws the musical, but it's just kind of like Little Shop, like the sharks singing the whole time.
Feed me, Brody.
Shark's a character.
I'm Bruce, and I'm ready to go. So the Indianapolis speech is kind of one of the through lines of the show. And you do get to see Ian Shaw recite this speech, which, I mean, he's only 9 years old when his dad dies, but I mean, I bet he had a period of his life where he just wanted nothing to do with Jaws. You know, that just seems like the normal trajectory of, you know,
living in someone's shadow.
Yeah,
it's the Jason Reitman saying like, "I'm not going to do a Ghostbusters movie."
It's like, I didn't play softball. My dad plays softball. Okay. But he does do the Indianapolis speech, and it's really, I mean, it is one of the most famous scenes in film history and one of the most famous monologues. Jacob, I want to know how you felt in that moment. Take us back.
Well, that's one of the things that I really love about the play is most of the time they're just playing the actors. And every now and then, like in the middle of them arguing, a voice comes from off stage that is, you know, Steven Spielberg. And he's like, all right, here we go. Shark's working and action. And they start doing right, a scene. Right. And you're like, what? Because Robert Shaw, his voice in real life was nothing like Quint. It like, it's a, I think like when I was younger and I was watching Jaws all the time, I just thought that that was what that person was like. You know what I mean? You see Quint and I'm like, this is an actual fisherman. This is what he sounds like all the time. This is the kind of person he is. And he's actually been eaten by a shark. And it's like a Daniel Day-Lewis thing. You know, you watch like There Will Be Blood and he's got this crazy voice. And if you watch Daniel Day-Lewis in an interview, he's like very soft-spoken. And Robert Shaw. Yeah. And Robert Shaw, you know, he's, I believe, was he born in, I think, Scotland? He's Scottish or something like that. And it's, or Ireland. And he's, it's a very, you know, English voice. And it's a very kind of high-pitched voice. And so they're doing that most of the time. And then they jump into a scene and he goes from doing that to doing Quint. And it, they tease you with the Indianapolis speech a lot through the show because, you know, there's the, all the famous stories of the speech sucked and it was like 10 pages long and they couldn't get, he couldn't get through it. There was just like a lot of that kind of stuff. He rewrote it himself. And then the, you know, towards the end of the show is just, they just straight up do the whole scene. And I, and you know, like I didn't know 100% sure, but I'm like, oh, this is, there's no way they're not just going to do this speech. And he does it and it's perfect. And it's like, you're watching Quint do it. And it's like, I don't know, dude, it feels weird because it's like, oh, I've made it. I'm in Jaws now. Yeah. You feel like you're there. You
know? And it feels earned too, because you've seen like all the buildup to the take and like you've experienced it with these actors and it's intimate and it's up close and like, there's no way you'd ever be able to get inside of the orca and like know what was going on behind the scenes. This is literally the only way to like catalog and chronicle it. It's really awesome.
Yeah. And Jake, you were kind of talking about this earlier. Like you're in a theater with 700-800 people all watching the Jaws thing. There's nobody in that building who hasn't seen Jaws probably. A lot of those people.
Yeah, it was an older crowd. It looked like a distinguished group.
And there's a lot of people who love Jaws and probably watch it all the time or watch every year. But like, I was just saying, but there's nobody in that building who that meant more to at that moment than you. So
yeah, I agree with that.
That's always a peculiar thing. This happens to me with Ghostbusters a lot. Not a lot, but like anytime they've done like a screening of the original movie or when like Afterlife came out and you go to the theater and then, oh, it's a packed theater. Everyone's here watching Ghostbusters, but you have that feeling like, I can't.
You kind of have that thing where you're like, well, I let all you guys come watch this with me because this is for
like,
me.
It's like, I don't feel better doing this than right these now people, for but me this is mainly for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how I... Right.
This whole production. Yeah. Hey, what's crazy is like, I'm in a couple Jaws, you know, Facebook groups. There's, you know, I've been in that community for a long time. I've met people who have become friends through the Jaws Martha's Vineyard community. And, there's a couple people who have posted like that, you know, there's not a ton of Jaws things that happen these days. There's not a lot going on. So anytime anybody who's in one of those groups sees the play, they post about it. It's like constantly like, hey, I got to go tonight. And I've seen like five or six people post and then I recognize them. Like, oh, that guy was in front of us in line. Somebody posted a picture of him in front of the sign. He's like, hey, I got to see the show and I'm in the background. I was like, oh, that's the night I was there. Cause there I am in the photo.
Yeah. And so. Abby, you mentioned, so with Broadway shows, it's a thing where after the show, a lot of the times some of the cast will come out, do, you know, photos and sign stuff. And
accept flowers and praise.
We should have brought flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have got flowers.
We really screwed up.
By the way, they did not depict my absolute favorite scene of Quint in that movie because he doesn't even say anything, but it's the scene where everyone's freaking out. Richard Dreyfuss just gets there and he comes sailing by the boat. And he's looking at everybody with that face. He's like,
you're all going to die.
Yeah. You dumb pieces of shit. You are losers.
Yeah.
But so we did get to meet two of the actors afterwards. Actually, I was going to grab my playbill because I got it signed. Let me go do that real quick. So yeah, we did get to meet Ian Shaw and what's his name? The other actor?
Colin O'Donnell.
Colin O'Donnell. So here's got the playbill signed by both. Now, the actor who played Richard Dreyfuss does not sign. He did not come out.
Alex,
it's gonna be
Brian
hard to
not
complete.
Yeah,
this.
And I read why he doesn't pretty recently, but I don't remember the bullshit reason he gave or whatever. I don't know what it is. I know he's like he's pretty popular. As far as, you know, Broadway goes, he played Beetlejuice in the Beetlejuice musical, and I know people went crazy over that. So,
hey,
I don't know,
Michael
but he
Keaton
didn't come
signs. Out. Yeah. Alex Brightman could sign.
Yeah,
no, he was amazing. Hey, honestly, maybe
about civics, man. Come on.
Well, maybe it is like a method acting thing. I mean, the first time Jacob met Richard Dreyfuss, he didn't sign, even though it was like a paid event.
Even though I paid a lot of money, yeah
maybe he.
Yeah,
method.
You're right. Totally. Oh, yeah, it's a method. He's just being a jerk.
It's everybody's.
Sure, that's possible. No, he was great. And honestly, like the fact that any of them came out is really cool. But I would want Ian Shaw more than anybody. The fact that he's doing autographs and taking pictures with people. And hey, but also Alex Brightman, there was like
less
20
than that.
People
there was like
out
10.
There. Come on, dude. Less than that.
Well, five of them
few.
Were like these
just
women who just
come out there
like,
and say hi.
Weren't even at the show. Yeah, three of them were us.
Three of them were us.
Those ladies were like,
three of them were us. Yeah.
Those ladies were like, what are you guys, what is this? What are you guys waiting for?
Oh, yeah. I bet that's like, you know, like the people who collect autographs that just hang out outside of the show until it lets out and get those things. But we are real fans.
Yeah, it was great. Really great show. I would love to see it again. I don't know if that opportunity will present itself, but I'm glad that we did it because I will never forget it. And Jaws is a big 50th anniversary coming up, too.
Oh, yeah, they've got a birthday. Do you think we can get Ian on the show?
Probably.
You think he would do That'd a podcast? Cool. I've seen him do a couple. Like, if you Google, you know, if you get on YouTube and look his name up, he's done a couple, you know, podcasts.
Let's work that on happen, that. Let's work on that. Let's manifest that. Yeah, we'll reach out because I think I would love to pick his brain a little bit about just everything we just said.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm just going to send him this episode and be like, respond.
Watch this first, and
Behold.
Then come on and tell us how
you can
right
tell
we are about everything.
I think he's probably like a brilliant writer. I mean, obviously his father was, but the way they interweave that dialogue and I don't know, it just felt special. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
It was really
it's
good.
Delicate subject matter, and it was intimate and delivered on a stage in front of a bunch of people, and that's not easy.
And also, they do the show four times a week, five times a week. That's the thing that always blows my mind. Like, these guys are in musicals, they like do two a day for 8 weeks. It's like, how?
Yeah. How are you funny twice a day? Like, how do you make that same joke? How do you tell it and be funny every time and not just get tired of hearing it?
It probably just becomes automatic.
I imagine.
Hey, before we move on to talking about the rest of our trip, I wanted to talk about YHS on Patreon real quick, just for a second. Okay.
Okay.
We have been doing Patreon bonus content for 5 years, and it is the number one way that you can support Yes Have Some Podcasts. So if you're interested in all the bonus audio that we do and you want to get in on a complete archive, because once you sign up, you get everything. 5 years of content, you're going to go to patreon.com/yeshavesome, sign up for as little as $5 a month. It directly supports all of the things that we do, helps us keep the lights on, as they say. And, you know, you get a lot out of it. Not only do you get the bonus audio, video, we've got the Patreon that's exclusive to, the Instagram that's exclusive to Patreon. And then we have the Discord as well. So it's a lot of good stuff. And you can find out more at patreon.com/yeshavesome. Last night, Jacob, you, myself, Jake Stevens, and Ryan yelled about Ahsoka for about 45 minutes. That was fun. I had a great time. I thought Jake Stevens liked it a lot more than he did. I was surprised.
Curveball,
Oh, no.
He didn't like it at all.
He didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
He didn't like it at all. Hey, were we supposed to be doing a magic mind reading for Tolkien? Did we forget that we were supposed to be doing
We don't have the, we have to wait till the product comes in first. We had to order it. Yeah.
Until our minds are changed and then we can talk about it.
I just it popped in my head while you're doing that reading. I'm like, oh,
no, I emailed him back and forth with them today. Oh, by the way, I'm not editing this part out. So a little behind the scenes.
Let the people know it's coming. It won't throw them off.
Magic Mind's not working.
I thought at first you said Magic Mike. I was like, are we sponsored by Magic Mike now?
I wish.
not such a bad idea. Okay. Should we talk about this other portion of our trip where we all went up to Sleepy Hollow?
Yeah, let's do it.
Abby.
Yo.
Talk about that thing I just talked about.
Going to Sleepy Hollow? It was an adventure. And it was also something that I got to kind of prepare for. Jacob, you sent pictures of Sleepy Hollow, like the actual location in New York, to Craig and I. And I was like, oh, that looks awesome. Let's definitely go. And as preparation for myself on the way to New York in the airplane, I listened to Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And really enjoyed that story and that spooky tale. And then after visiting the town, I was able to watch the Tim Burton movie. So I kind of got like a full circle experience of the Headless Horseman, etc. And I was pumped the morning of to get there. We had to take a train ride. It was probably the most beautiful ride I've ever taken. You could see the foliage turning around the Hudson River, and you just kind of felt like you were being swept back in time to an olden time place. And I really enjoyed the ride. And then I really enjoyed the train station when we got off. It felt like it was completely deserted. Yeah. Which
it was like empty
rules. Yeah.
It felt like a zombie movie.
I love that. I
was like, hey, oh, you know, my favorite part was on the train. Dead here. Spotted lantern fly flew on this woman. And she was like, ah. She killed it. Yeah. Sleepy Hollow. It's about a 40-45 minute train ride north of Manhattan. And we went on October 1st. We started at the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. I've been to the Oakland Cemetery in Atlanta. In fact, I was there today.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Guess what? The Sleepy Hollow Cemetery? Like 9,000 times bigger than the Oakland Cemetery. That is a big place.
Yeah. Well, I think it's huge. 90 acres. It's big. It's very, very big. I think we probably only saw like a quarter of it. We went to Sleepy Hollow because I knew we were going to have some downtime. And I was like, hey, if we're going to be in New York towards the beginning of October, I want to see if there's any Halloween things to do. I don't want to just sit around. Let me see what's happening. And then somebody alerted me. They were like, hey, you know, Sleepy Hollow is really close. And I was like, oh, I just never thought about it. I didn't think it would have been so close.
I would assume it's just like where upstate we were staying. New York, like a couple hours north, right?
Yeah, I would have figured it was probably a couple hours away, but no, it's like 30 miles away. So yeah, I wanted to go really badly. I was like, fuck it, let's go. And then as I started telling people like, hey, we're going to Sleepy Hollow, I realized a lot of people did not realize that Sleepy Hollow
is
a real place. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just think it's, you know, in the story. And like, you know, I remember watching the animated Sleepy Hollow in school. And, you know, learning about Ichabod and the Headless Horseman and having to cross the bridge and get to the church before a certain time, and then you realize like, oh, these places all exist. Like, we were watching a video on YouTube, I think the night before we left, and we're like, someone's like, this is the bridge that they wrote about, this is the church that in the, you know, even like some of the people who are buried in the cemetery, those real people, you know, characters in the story are based on some of those people. So you can go see where the Van Tassels are, you know, buried. That's a major character in Sleepy Hollow, especially in the Tim Burton movie, the Van Tassels. So we got to do all that. And it was really cool being there and seeing all the signs. And it just looks, it's just beautiful there. You know, there's a lot of like water and all the, you know, the cemetery has like this really nice foliage growing over every, it just looks
picturesque.
It looks fake, you know, like when you're watching Halloween movies and they're in these beautiful cemeteries and walking over these wooden bridges. It's like, oh, it looks like everything in this town looks like a set.
So
it was great.
It was a little warm.
Could have been cool.
It was a warm. I was wearing
very
shorts.
Warm. Very warm that day. A lot of walking too. Like the uphill walking wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't like 90 Here's the degrees.
Thing. I knew it was gonna be a lot of walking because once the train station is about an eighth of a mile away from the cemetery, but it's an uphill walk through a neighborhood. But you're first getting there, you're getting acclimated, you're like, look at these homes. Could you imagine living here? And then you're in the cemetery, and then halfway through the cemetery, you're like, we're on a hike.
On a river.
This is now a hike.
Yeah. You also, I don't know about you guys, but I reached a point before we even got out of the cemetery where I was like, cool, we're done, right? This is it. It's like, you're like, oh no, we haven't even started walking into the town and yet. Like,
it's not like an amusement park where it's like all in one little central location. It's like, this is a real ass place. There's a gas station.
It's definitely better if you next have a time, vehicle, I think. We're if cruising. You can have a vehicle, next time, do
we're
it.
Staying late.
Headless Horseman. Hey, I do have the Four Horsemen Studios Headless Horseman figure, so I felt pretty connected to the town as a whole, and it did win Jeffrey's Figure of the Year. So remember at Ghostbusters Fan Fest when I almost died because of like starvation and thirst? That almost happened. I played it cool. I did this. I don't know if you guys noticed on this whole trip, I decided to be as stress free as Craig gets. Which me at zero is like another person's like even me at zero is like kind of stressed out. So I didn't make a big deal out of it. But right before I went to that gas station in my head, I was like, I'm dying right now. I'm literally dying.
We only been there for like 2 hours.
You know what it was? It's because we didn't.
I thought we were on an island.
I didn't have any. The only thing I would have done different, I would have just had like a refillable bottle of water with me and maybe some
zippable pants into shorts.
Breakaways.
The thing I, you know, if we could do that trip again, the thing I was kind of really looking forward to, which we didn't do, but it wasn't anybody's fault really, is that, you know, I was like, oh, it's October. I looked up, there was like this big, they have this thing called the Pumpkin Blaze where they have like thousands of pumpkins at her car. And I looked at pictures like, oh, this looks amazing, but you have to buy your tickets ahead of time. And we just didn't I kept forgetting. We just didn't do it. But, you know, if you're in a place like Sleepy Hollow in October, you want to be there when it starts to get dark. You want to be there at night when the lights go on. And I mean, by the time 4 o'clock rolled around,
we're dead.
We were so worn out. It was our last day in New York. We were ready to go. So like we were out of there much earlier before it got dark.
We were originally going to go Friday. But that was the day
there was actual torrential storms.
The rain. Yeah. But it was cool, man. Those little towns, like, you know, once we made our way up to climb the hill to get to town, found some food, ate a little Greek spot. It was really good. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was just good. It was just a good time. I like small towns. Part of it, I mean, Martha's Vineyard obviously is its own kind of thing. But like once you're like walking through the town, you're like, it has a little bit of that vibe. It was just cool.
Holiday vacation vibe. Yeah. It just left me wanting more of the town and then also like more of Halloween stuff. It was like a really good little appetizer before coming home and decorating our house, which is what I did.
The cell phone service was horrible.
Yeah, well, they really want you to be
a Blair Witch element
and scared, and they want it. Yeah, they
it's
don't,
just
they
like
don't
the
1800s,
like just kind of spotty cell service.
Well, the Headless Horseman doesn't like AT&T.
I feel like that would
so
be
doesn't let
like a crappy cell phone commercial from like 2003.
I ran out of minutes.
yeah, that's what it would be. Don't get caught.
Can
headless.
You hear me now? That his head gets.
Hey, cool. That's fun. It was really cool. There was like a gift shop. I
got like a little thing to like clean my glasses with. That's like the painting of the Headless Horseman.
Yeah,
it's cool.
You got a Headless Horseman's
like functional stuff. Yeah,
glasses cleaner. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really cool. Definitely recommend if you're in New York. And it was also cool. Like let's wrap up here. By the way, just love, this is kind of part one. We're going to have another episode later in the week. Jake, you've seen the new Exorcist movie. We still haven't managed to see it, but we're going to.
Yeah, you guys have, your homework is to, before we record again, you have to watch The Exorcist.
Okay. Oh, shit, you betcha.
The next episode is a double.
That sounds good. So this episode won't be.
Yeah, open, this is on Paramount Plus.
Tonight won't be as long as a normal YHS, but we'll have more coming later this week. But what I will say is that New York is just a one of a kind place, and it's like every 5 minutes you see something that you've never seen before. Just like,
yeah,
it's really fun though, but it's loud and it's busy. So to be able to get out of the city for a day, just take a train ride up the Hudson River, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was great. It's something I feel like I can see us all making another trip to Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
In future New York.
Yeah. Let's get.
Hey,
yes,
we got a day. We got a day.
A spot.
We did a
let's
lot of
like
great
really
stuff.
Really take
this
it
year.
All in.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what I.
Yeah.
I'd be
stay
much
there.
More.
Yeah,
I'd
yeah,
be
yeah.
really inclined to that. Yeah.
Tonight.
You know, sleep there.
Listen, we're at the cemetery on October 1st. So first of all, everyone's got like spooky clothes
that's
on.
That's why I'm wearing my goth clothes tonight, because I didn't get to wear them that day. Because I realized all these little gothic sprites kept coming out with like doing their photos, just like
yeah.
I was like, "Where did you come
yeah,
from?
Yeah,
how did you? You must have been planning this all year."
Well, we are standing there. Yeah. It was like fairly crowded. There's cars and there's people walking around, and it was a Sunday, so I think there's maybe even some funerals going on.
There's yeah. literally tours going around. Washington Irving's buried there.
That's my
there's
favorite
like a bunch
sneaky
of
thing to do is
grave.
To like steal the information from the tour that you didn't pay for.
Yeah, we didn't
I'm
pay
like,
for
ooh,
this
I
tour.
I just learned something for free.
You're like, yeah. Shh, I'm learning some facts. But this lady pulls up in like a minivan and she looks at me and she's like,
I forgot about
you
this.
Forgot about this? She's like, hey, why is it so busy here today?
And hey, why the fuck are you here?
Yeah.
You should know it's October 1st.
I looked at her and I go,
well, he was probably God. Visiting a dead loved one.
I retract my statement.
Yeah, but don't
it
you,
is a
if
cemetery.
You're,
but I went, still, but Craig,
it's
what
October
did you say to
1st. But like,
we're like, it is Sleepy Hollow. It is one of the yeah, most famous right, cemeteries right. in the world. It's October. It's the first
what if I just,
day what,
I should have just walked into her car, put my head in the window, and went, it's spooky season. Like, I don't know. For some reason, it just annoyed me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. It was funny, I remember. But just yeah, to add a last little fun. Story to all of these fun literary adventures we had, let's see. The last day we were in New York, we happened into a little cafe to get coffee, and it was an Edgar Allan Poe themed cafe. It's called Edgar's Cafe, and I just loved it.
It was cool.
It was a really cool spot. It's like only in New York will you find just walking nice. To get coffee as like a functionary thing. Then realizing like, oh, this place is like really cool and connected to like books and stuff, and I loved that. We had coffee, yeah. Craig and I there. Then we came back, Jacob, with you, and had a meal. And I just love that. That's the stuff in New York that I like. And yeah. That, yeah.
Well, the special. Funny thing is Jake and I had already been to that cafe. Neither one of us realized there was an entire wall decorated with Edgar Allan Poe. And when I came back,
obvious.
I was like, hey, Jacob, that place we went earlier, you know, it's Edgar Allan Poe themed. And you went, is it? And I went, I was like, it is like it literally, there's a giant picture of him. Hey, let's wrap up on this because after all, this is
my
yes.
Cat
have
just
some,
walked away with my headphones.
Why does she have she the headphones? She
what?
She's
just, is she wearing them?
I just saw the cat walk by, dragging Abby's headphones.
Oh well, she's a rebel now. You let her outside one yeah. for one night, all and right. now she's like, "Fuck."
So listen,
these are mine.
Because we're
which now?
YHS,
whatever she
we should talk about this. While we were in New York, we did make time to see some Ghostbusters filming locations. No, nowhere that we haven't been before. But we did go to the library mm-hmm. at night mm-hmm. while I ate a
oh,
giant
that was fun.
Cup of waffles and ice cream and whipped cream
that
and chocolate.
That was such a good night. Oh my God.
That was fun.
We were riding high on
that
sugar
was a good night,
and there was like nobody at the library. That yeah, night one,
that
I'm
was
unstoppable.
Night one.
Last night, I'm like, I'm not the same.
I don't know. You're changed.
I'm changed. I'm different, Judy. Yeah.
Oh, but
we got to see the library. We went to the firehouse. That was awesome. Yeah. We hit our normal spots. Toy Tokyo. Got some good food. Raise-A-Cult.
On accident.
Always like checking our phones. Is this?
We just happened to be walking down St. Mark's Place, and Jake, you and I, at the exact same time, went, is this?
Yeah, we could. We were like, this is it. We were like, we both stopped to look at our phones we're and be like, wait, are we near Raise-A-Cult?
Then we literally asked him, like, standing in front of
it. Literally.
Why are there so many people here? Like, it's Raise-A-Cult on October 1st.
It's October 1st.
And also, just listen, food's good. We love food. Mm-hmm. We had so much good food.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zillion's Pizza. Yeah. That place was great.
Yeah, that place was great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that place was really Zillion's that was pizza the best was great. Pizza, of the
good
trip.
Pizza trip.
What was the vegan spot? Willow?
Willow. Mm-hmm.
Willow. Mm-hmm. PS Kitchen, which is what we ate, like, right, mm-hmm. I think, right when we got there. PS Kitchen was the first.
Was it Javits Center?
Pot pies. Willow. Willow was the place yeah, where that, the craziness happened.
It was great.
Got an extreme.
That had the really good food.
And then we went to this. Yeah.
And hey, we're going to have good food next week in Orlando.
Dude, I'm psyched.
It's next, it's week. Next week.
I ordered some spooky stuff.
We leave.
It's like a week after. We leave it's the like 24th. 2 weeks from tomorrow.
So,
wow.
It's in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks from today, right? 2 weeks from today.
It was great. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. And we will return. YHS will return to New York. Hopefully, we'll Ghostbusters Firehouse premiere will happen, and hopefully it's in New York again, and we'll all have a party. That's what we're going to do.
It's our promise to you.
Or maybe they'll do it in LA. We'll go there. Or maybe they'll do it in London. We'll go there. We've got passports.
Or
now.
Atlanta.
Or sure. They'll do it. Why would they do a premiere for Ghostbusters?
That's never going to happen.
That would be
That's
way too convenient.
Yeah. At the Tinseltown Theater in Fayetteville. That's just my fan fiction. It would be awesome.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, this was fun. Stay tuned for our reviews of Exorcist Believer. Do we believe?
Believer.
We'll see.
Believer.
And then we will also have Pet Sematary, Bloodlines.
Pet Cemetery, yes. Bloodline.
And Jacob, I want to do a revival episode. Like, I don't know how. My bonus or something, but. Well, I know how. Plus, we'll press record. Oh my God. This show has a fun.
Well, Abby, first of all, you can listen to my Patreon revival episode back in the archives.
I want to talk about it. Talk about Jamie Morton.
I can't believe you read that so fast. It was like three days.
I can't. I listened to it, and I was sick for two of them, so I listened, did nothing but listen in bed. It was great.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in for another rousing episode of Yes House of Podcast. For Abigail Gardner, Jacob Walsh.
And the Headless Horseman.
Nickabod Crane. And Ian Shaw. He's up for a Jeffrey this year. Mm-hmm. Best son of Robert Shaw. Sure.
That's how we get him on the show. We give him a Jeffrey.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye, y'all.